phrases of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand. We'll mount in a soul on the portals of hell. Against us they will not stand. Singing praise, praise, praise to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise to the Lord. The battle is in your hands. The battle is in your hands. With the high praises of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand, we'll mount in a soul on the portals of hell. Against us they will not stand. Singing praise, praise, praise to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise to the Lord. The battle is in your hands. The battle is in your hands. With the high praises of God in my mouth, the two-edged sword in my hand, we're mounting a sword on the portals of hell. Against us they will not stand. Singing praise, praise, praise to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise to the Lord. Praise, praise, praise to the Lord. The battle is in His hands. The battle is in His hands. The battle.
Our scripture today comes from Joshua 6th chapter, verses 1 through 20. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and make 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city, with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. On the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city."
Maker of heaven and earth. this morning with you at the subject, Joshua Valiant in Fight. And I chose that phrase from the book of Hebrews, where in chapter 11, you may recall, that phrase is found referring to some unknown person. It doesn't mention a name. But I think of Joshua whenever I read that, a valiant in fight. Here was the man that God had appointed to be the leader of the Israelite people after the death of Moses. And you know what a great leader Moses was. So in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, we read about one of the great events in the history of Israel, the fall of the city of Jericho. This was the first major battle that the Israelites had faced. Now remember, they had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and they had lost a whole generation of people to the wilderness and really their unbelief. So it's really about faith here. The whole lesson of the book of Joshua, I believe, is how to be victorious in our faith. Well, we have been promised the victory. You know that. God says in His Word that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. So we are conquerors through Christ. The victory has already been won at the cross. And like Joshua, we can be valiant in fight. I don't have to tell you that we're in a fight today. Now, when I was a boy, I was told not to fight. Of course, I didn't obey, but I got into a lot of schoolyard scrapes and fights. And I had two brothers and a sister. It was the survival of the fittest in our home, probably like yours. But I'm not talking about that kind of fight. And I'm not even talking about the fight that we are in as a nation, a fight against a foe that we have never really, I suppose we've met the foe before, but the war in Iraq and in other places, Islamic radicalism, I guess some would call it. But it's really, the Bible says that our foes are not flesh and blood. Now, I think that's important to realize, because otherwise we might hate those who are our own flesh and blood. Now, we're not to hate them. We're to love them. We're to pray for them. We're to seek their salvation. But the foe that we face, again, is not flesh and blood. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are faced with the foes of principalities and powers that we cannot see. And it was no different with Joshua and the Israelites. They had come to the Jordan River, and already God had given them a great victory in parting the Jordan River. And now they were standing on the opposite shore, the shores of Canaan itself, the promised land. But a big obstacle stood in their way, and that obstacle was the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho was one of the great cities of the world. It still is. It's, I think, regarded as the oldest occupied city in the world. So this was a formidable obstacle which they faced. Well, how did they win the victory? I think how we win the victory is the same way that how they won the victory. They won the victory not because of anything they did, but because of what God did. It was all of grace. There's really nothing that they could do. They didn't arm themselves, and we'll see that here as we go along. But it was all of grace. Well, how can we learn from them how to be victorious in our Christian lives? How to know that we have a purpose and that God is fulfilling that purpose in us. Let us claim that victory. Well, here we see three victories that Joshua and the Israelites claimed, and that we must also claim if we are to be victorious in our fight, if we are to be valiant in our fight. Well, first of all, there was the victory of a foe defeated. Now, if you'll look there at Joshua chapter 6, it says there that Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. As they looked at the city walls, and the gates of the city were closed. And the windows were even closed and shuttered, like a hurricane was coming. So there was a fear there, apparently, that had come over the city. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. That's found in Romans 8:37. And that our enemy is already defeated. Jesus dealt the death blow on the cross. And so there's really nothing that we can do but to accept by faith what God has already done. And then to go forward in faith and obedience. And obedience and faith are two sides of the same coin. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. So we need to realize that our foe has been defeated. That word named Satan means adversary and foe. And the Bible tells us that he has many at his command, many myriads of demons. They were once angels. But we have some glimpses in Scripture of how the devil became the devil and how the demons became demons. But those are the real enemies that we face. Perhaps you faced them this morning, just getting here. We always have, you know, some technical problems or, you know, other obstacles that just seem to crop up. And sickness is another one. There are very few Sunday mornings, frankly, that I just jump out of bed and I'm, you know, I'm just so excited and I'm just thrilled with facing the day. I think it's because the devil wants to discourage us. He wants to make us feel like we're defeated. He wants to make us hunker down and just settle for a life of mediocrity. But we need to realize that our foe has already been defeated. And there are three facts here that I want us to notice about our foe's defeat. First of all, it's judgment. The judgment of that defeat. Jericho, it says here, was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Well, you know why? Because I believe it was because they knew that they were under the judgment of God. Jericho was a wicked city. Here was a city that practiced child sacrifice. And we know that later when the city of Jericho was rebuilt. It says that the man who rebuilt it at the cost of his firstborn son. That's exactly what God predicted in Scripture. Now today is the anniversary, or the Sunday closest to the anniversary, of the infamous decision of Roe versus Wade. And that's why I put that, we had that little flyer put in your bulletin there, a little information about that. I want you to pray about this abortion issue in our nation. I believe that it's like what God condemned Jericho for. This was a wicked city that was under the judgment of God. And our foe has been judged, the Bible says. And so we don't need to apologize. We don't need to feel like, oh, you know, let's let him live. Let's let this, you know, let's be compassionate even toward the devil. The devil doesn't need our compassion. He needs to know that his time is short, like the Bible says, and that he is already defeated, and that he has no power over us because we belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you can claim that victory. Our foe has been judged. He's been indicted. Here, God said to Joshua, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Now, does that mean that God had already accomplished that defeat of Jericho? I think so. I think God had already decided that it was going to happen. And if God has decided it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But we must respond in faith as the Israelites did. God has chosen to work through us. Isn't that awesome? That God has chosen to work through you and me, fallible people as we are, weak. We're not very smart in a lot of ways. But God has chosen to work through us. And then the armament. Well, we are the armament. God uses people as his armament. I don't find that the Israelites here were heavily armed. I don't know that they were armed at all. They were armed with trumpets. I think maybe they must have laughed. You know, if there was anyone who peered over the wall, seeing this motley group of people circling the walls. And, again, it comes back to the grace of God and how God will use anyone who's willing to be used. God uses people as his armament. And he gives those people who trust him the victory. So there's a foe defeated here that we can learn from. There's also a faith demonstrated. The Bible makes it clear that faith without works is dead. James 2:20 says that. And notice these facts about this faith that they demonstrated. That is, Joshua, but also the people. All of the people of Israel. I don't find that there were any, kind of like when they crossed the Jordan River, I don't find that there were any that stayed behind and said, well, I'm going to stay back here. It's probably safer. And I just don't have the faith to go across. No, they were born as a body across that river by the common faith. Now, some of them had weak faith, I'm sure. But it speaks of grace. So there's a faith demonstrated here as well in the leadership. And that leader was Joshua. I just love the fact that Joshua is the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. In fact, if you have a King James Version of the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, or I mean, I think, not chapter 11, but I forget the exact chapter, but it says there, if Jesus had given them rest, then God would not have spoken of another rest. Now, Jesus there is actually Joshua. Now, you have to know that. But it's because it's the same name. Jesus and Joshua are the same. Well, is not Jesus our leader? Is he not described in Scripture as the captain of our salvation? And are we not instructed through this Old Testament example to follow our captain? He is the captain of our salvation. He is the captain of our faith. And so they followed Joshua, as unreasonable as it may have seemed to be. That's really what discipleship is. A disciple is one who follows the leader. And that leader is Christ. Christ is the head of this church. I'm not the head of the church. You're not the head of the church. Well, a church can only have one head, as a body can only have one head. And we must follow that leader. As together we follow Christ, we're not going to be divided. There wasn't someone who said, well, you're going around this way, I'm going to go around that way. And we've had some kids that way. You know, if we went around that way, well, they'd go around that way. But I don't find that there are any that went around the wrong way. Or said, well, I'm going to skip as I walk. Or I'm going to do some somersaults or whatever. No, they all followed the leader, didn't they? And that's what discipleship is. There was fellowship. I think as they walked along, they were conscious of one another. They felt that strength that came from being with one another in that body of believers. That's what's so wonderful about the church. The church is the body of Christ. We're all different, aren't we? I mean, you can look around you here. There's no one that's even dressed alike, I don't think. I hope not two ladies. That's not good. But maybe a couple men dressed similar. But I see you all look different, even Ed. Ed's especially different. And he's getting up and leaving. But you're coming back, right, Ed? We love you. But the fellowship here is a great lesson, isn't it, for us in faith? We need that strength of fellowship. The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day of Christ's return approaching. And then there's a fall delivered, finally, in that final victory, a fall delivered. Jesus said, "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He knew that Satan had already fallen. Satan was already defeated. The Bible says that in Genesis 3:16, one of the great 3:16 verses in the Bible, it says that God predicted that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And that serpent would strike the heel of that seed of the woman. And of course, that speaks of the cross and how Jesus dealt that death blow to Satan on the cross. I've shared this a number of times, and that what I think is the greatest movie of the life of Christ ever made, The Passion of the Christ. How Jesus was praying in the garden. That's how the movie began. And the serpent came over to where Jesus was praying. And Jesus got up from his prayer and he stomped on the head of that serpent, bruising the head of that serpent on the cross. Jesus dealt that death blow to our enemy, the devil. And we don't need to be defeated. We don't need to let Jericho be the fortress that it was, because God had decreed its defeat. There's a fall delivered. The position of that city was formidable. And I'm sure as they looked across Jordan, before they crossed the Jordan, and they saw that city of Jericho, there must have been some who thought in their hearts, "Oh, this is almost too much. I just can't imagine that God can do that through us." But they went anyway. They believed that God would do what He said He was going to do. Your faith may waver at times, like Peter when he walked to Jesus on the water. Do you remember when he came out of the boat? He said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter began to walk, it says, and as he saw the waves, he began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus. But thank God, we may fail Him. He never fails us. And He lifts us up and He carries us when we are no longer able to go or in our own strength. That's the position of the city. But there was a prostration also of that enemy. Didn't Jesus say we could remove mountains through prayer? I kind of think that as they walked around the city, they surely prayed. They may have prayed like they never prayed before. And there may have even been some up on the wall praying. I don't know that they were praying to the same God. I don't think so. And we know there was at least one in her family, Rahab, the harlot. One of the great examples of grace in the Bible, who believed that God was going to do as He said He was going to do. And she and her whole household were saved by that scarlet thread of faith in Calvary. And that's what's so wonderful about Jesus, our Joshua. If you've never come to trust Him as your Savior, would you trust Him today? Would you invite Him into your life? Would you claim that victory that He has wrought for you on the cross? That city, of course, went flat. It fell. You can read about that later. And archaeology has actually proved that in recent years, that there was a dramatic, cataclysmic event that caused the walls of that great city to just collapse. And then it was possessed. The Bible says in Genesis 22:17, a great promise I believe that any of us can claim, that we shall possess the gate of our enemies. God has promised victory to you and to me. But the question is, are we going to be like that generation that was lost in the wilderness? That lost generation that never saw the promised land, because the Bible says they did not have faith that God would do as He said He was going to do. But are you going to be rather like that generation who believed that their God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? And then to go forward and to claim that victory.